The 75th anniversary of Bridgeview Elementary was reason for a celebration there on May 1, when close to 1,000 people gathered at the school to share memories, visit old friends, play games, raise money for a new playground, and also remember a time when people didn't want the school built on the flood-prone site. It was spectacular, Principal Ann Smith said of the anniversary event. We had people from as far away as Scotland, and people who attended kindergarten in 1953, someone from Rhode Island, some came from Saskatchewan, from Parksville, and of course many local people too. We are still tallying up how much we raised. Today the school on 115 A Avenue is a place of learning for 184 students, a number that has held steady for several years. Not a lot of housing development can take place in this area, because it's on a floodplain, Smith noted. Our school is built on stilts. There is a development of townhouses coming, so hopefully that brings some new students, but I don't know. In 1948, Surrey Leader reported news of protests and petitions involving the selection of the school site, which some had deemed too wet, dangerous, and far away from a more densely settled area. One school trustee, T. Scott, figured that Bridgeview would require two schools within a few years, not just the new one. By September 1950, a six-room school was officially opened on Sindel Road at an event officiated by Len Shepherd. It was built as a four-room school and the classrooms were put in use last January, said a Leader news story. This summer, 1,000 cubic yards of fill material was placed on this site, which is low and inclined to be wet. Chosen in a competition, the school name became synonymous with the area, previously known as Brownsville. The history of the area is covered by Surrey-raised author Jean Walton, who attended the school's 75th anniversary celebrations and read from her 2018 book Mudflat Dreaming, which explored a dirty chapter of Bridgeview history in the 1970s when residents struggled with third world-like conditions. For years they fought City Hall to have proper sewers built, because their septic tanks kept overflowing into the drainage ditches near their homes, but then Mayor Bill van der Zom and municipal councillors balked, in light of more industrial plans for the area. The mid-70s situation in Bridgeview was documented in Some People Have to Suffer, produced by the National Film Board as part of a Challenge for Change program to bring political concerns to light. The movie was a source of inspiration for the book authored by Walton, now a professor at the University of Rhode Island. What an honor it was to attend the school's anniversary event, and to be a part of the vibrant community there, Walton later posted to the Facebook group. I grew up in Bridgeview and live to tell about it. Congrats to Principal Smith and her team for putting together such a spectacular event, with many moving parts, to raise funds for the new playground. I was so glad to be able to meet Chief Rhonda Larrabee of Key Kite First Nation and to hear her story. I was happy to sign some of my books for people, and if you weren't able to snag one at the event, but would like to read about Bridgeview in the 1970s, and how the National Film Board made a movie about Bridgeview, there may be copies left there, or I can get more sent. All proceeds go to the school. Surrey Now and Then is a look back at Surrey area landmark sites, events, and people. Email story ideas and tips to tom.zilich@surreynowleader.com. We thank Surrey Archives for assistance with this series.